Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back. I hope everybody had an enjoyable weekend. You know, I know the weather wasn't good for those of us on the West Coast and in other places, but sometimes it doesn't matter what the weather is. You can still have a great weekend. I did. And again, I hope you did. It just seems like the news never really changes. It's just like the names change, but it just seems like the paradigm, what people are doing, what government is doing, is just getting worse. If you think the news back in the 60s, remember at the end of the day, they'd say, well, it's 10 or 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Maybe that was back in the 50s. But, I mean, the real tragic news was Timmy was caught under a log and Lassie came to, you know, get help. The types of things that we are tolerating as a society is, I think, an indictment, or I should say, actually, evidence and proof that the boiling of the frog principle or the ratcheting principle by Higgs, by Robert Higgs, is absolutely correct. That slowly but surely we will continue to accept unacceptable things in slow dosages. So, I'm not sure about you, but it just seems like, you know, there, it doesn't matter which direction we look. It's just, it's hard to understand what the heck's going on. Anyway, this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that dives into the constitutional processes necessary to fix this out-of-control government. It will also fix your state and local governments as well. If you have any contracts, whether it's your employment contract, your homeowners association's contract, your mortgage contract, your car, if you've got a car loan, any type of contract that you have, I can't imagine that you would be okay with these banks, your employer, or anybody that you're in contract with, for them to just go ahead and do what they want to do and not honor the contract. That is why it is so important, because most people do not look at the Constitution as a contract. Well, technically it's a compact, but it falls under contract law. They have to abide by it. They have to follow it. And it is very clear that they don't care. They're ready to rewrite a new constitution that's going to be better, because they're going to guarantee that your feelings won't get hurt, and they're going to guarantee that nobody can hurt anybody. And all of those guarantees will fall short, because they're already telling us with more and more money for police, they'll have to have a police for every home. They'll have to have a police for every square inch of property. And it still won't be enough, because if somebody really wants to kill you or do something, do harm or do evil, they'll figure out a way, whether it's poisoning the water system or what have you. They'll figure out a way, because that's unfortunately the creativity of the human mind in trying to do bad things. Anyway, the number to dial in, this is different. I'm not going to give you the old call-in number. That's at the beginnings of the break. But we have a listen line. So there's a few people that have mentioned, hey, you know, I'd love to listen, but I can't stream while I'm driving along. I just don't get that good of a reception. So we have a listen line on Red State Talk Radio. In other words, let's say you got a data limitation and you don't want, you know, listening to GR here to eat up too much of your data. You don't have to. If you've anybody that's got a cell phone now has unlimited, long distance, unlimited calling, unlimited text. just limited data. So the listen number, if you want, and actually I've used it, if you want to listen, it's 605-562-4209. Now, if you live in an area that has really spotty cell phone coverage and you're traveling, well, I completely understand. I've been there and I do that. But if you happen to live in a kind of a, not necessarily rural, but kind of a suburb or, you know, just a little bit out from the urban area, nine times out of 10, you have really good coverage and you can listen. So the number to listen is 605-562-4209. I'm going to try to remember to get that up onto the website so that you can look it up and put it and program it into your phone. I did get two emails over the weekend. A gentleman by the name of Brian kind of sent me some comical, let's just say comical comments, and was kind of curious because I didn't mention who the idiots I was referring to. And apparently Brian had not been listening over a good course of time, because, I mean, you'd really have to listen to all the different shows to stitch that together. But there's a reason, Brian, why I don't necessarily try to associate those types of things directly. But it wouldn't take a genius if you've been listening on a regular basis. So maybe that's just a hint that it's helpful if you listen on a regular basis, because then you kind of know who these folks are that are trying to actually stop. I mean, these are supposedly champions of the Constitution, but they're actually trying to stop saving the Constitution and telling you it's okay, eyes straight ahead and, you know, full speed ahead on the status quo. We need to just keep working on educating people and trying to elect good people. How ambiguous crap is that? Anyway, I don't want to get back into that rant. I also got an interesting email because Lori disagreed with my position on schools regarding the homeless crisis. And I know I kind of glossed over that. And I will get into this, Lori. I just don't have time today. I could easily spend a lot of time on what the schools do and how they've been doing this and how this associates this, because there's just so many people that are caught up in the problem. And I'm not saying that you've got a wrong perspective, Lori, but what I want to do is look at this at a macro level. You know, what is upstream? Where do these people come from? Are these people just, you know, landing on our borders? What kind of families? What is it in the environment that is causing so many people to surrender to, you know, not want to do anything else in life but just get high and game the system? Let's talk about that, but we'll have to do that later. In addition, I will be covering the militia this week. I promise that. I'll probably cover it either tomorrow or Wednesday. I have to look at my personal calendar. And my wife has surgery tomorrow. So we'll probably be, you know, I'll probably just be doing news comments and so forth until maybe Wednesday or Thursday, until, you know, she's kind of on the mend, and it's supposed to be outpatient. So don't worry. If you want to put us in your prayers, we appreciate it. We believe in the power of prayer and we thank you for that. But bottom line is it takes a little time in getting all this stuff prepped. And so for me to wade through, because if I remember correctly, my militia extracts from the ratification debates is somewhere in the magnitude of 20 to 40 pages. There's a lot. I told you, there's hundreds and hundreds of references within just the Virginia ratification debates regarding the importance of the militia, its role, its purpose, and so forth. And that's why they put it into the Constitution, and it was never amended out. In other words, that is the process, and that is the backbone of our internal national security. And so here we go. We're going to get into this because we're going to kind of look at all of the supposed internal security that we have. And I'm going to prove to you that that is all federal tyranny. And it's not, it has nothing to do with real security of the Republic. So with that, let me do a little bit of groveling since I do have a minute and a half left. please. I'm going to be starting the advertisements for Red State Coffee Grinds pretty soon. And so it'll probably be hopefully this week, if not next week. We will be starting this. If you drink coffee, and this is a very good patriotic organization. I'm going to give you more background on these guys, but they're very patriotic. As a matter of fact, I know one thing that they do a year is they support Gold Star families. And so if you understand that, that's people that have, you know, ultimately sacrificed for this country and so forth. So I'll give you the details of what they do. But please, if you drink coffee, why don't you drink coffee that's actually supporting the protection of our Constitution and trying to do everything we can to get back on track? We're the only solution-based radio show out there that actually has a solution. Let me also state this, that if you want to help us directly, we do have a GoFundMe campaign. It is Reclaiming the Republic. That's one way you can help. Send us an email. You got a question, you got a problem, or you want to get involved, you want to support, you want to help, you've got a computer, just send us an email. Tell us what you can do and or what have you. We're here to help you help save the Republic. It's not helping us. We all need to be in this together. So with that, I am going to take a quick break because it's time for that. And when it's time for coming back, I will be here and we're going to get into some topic du jours. So I will tell you all about that when we come back, especially consequences and eliminating consequences or government trying to get consequences of sin away from us. And so we'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic review. Please read my argument for Republic review as well as my description of the Republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So the two organizations that I would highly recommend you get involved in would be the Constitution Club, which is theconstitutionclub.ning.com, and ourfirstright.org. Both of these groups are fighting to do good things that will kind of help in getting our better representation as well as getting state representation back. Now, I hope you understand that the only thing that is going to save the Constitution before these idiots. Now, I was reading an article that was written by Buchanan that, you know, in the 2020 election, if the progressives actually take over, if the communists actually take full control of the Senate, if the communists take full control of the House again, and they have full control of the White House, there is a very good likelihood that they will try to throw away the Constitution or rewrite it. Well, they've been doing that already. And they're ready to take away your liberties and your rights and subjugate you. We're that close, my friends. I will tell you that they know by 2022 or 2024, there will be enough useful idiots in the electoral process, not throughout the republic, but in the electoral process to try to push us into a democracy. What will end up happening is we will fall back upon the electoral college that may save us once again, but that is when they will actually try to seize the Constitution and undermine, you know, our constitutional republic and throw us literally into a democracy. What they could do, and nobody talks about this that often, but what they could do is Soros and everybody else and the good old American taxpayer can pay for these kids to move into your state, into your red state, Wyoming, the Dakotas, Kansas, and so forth, and get enough kids displaced out of these blue states and move them, because they've got an abundance of blue voters, and they'll just move these people into the states to get the necessary states, enough states on board to force this removal of the Constitution. And they've done this before. Now, they've never really moved a lot of people, but what they did in the homosexual marriage case in, I think it was 2012, 2010, in Washington State, whenever it was done, because Washington State was the only state that they were actually able to affect. Hawaii, they didn't have to affect. I mean, Hawaii is already there. But Washington State, Soros and company moved political activists, young political activists, into the population centers and actually got those kids that were coming in or were in college and convinced them to vote on love, equal love, and what, you know, because that was the campaign that they were talking about regarding homosexual marriage. Everybody has a right to love. And so they were successful in the ballot process by a major majority, but it was a minor majority in changing the state laws in allowing homosexual marriage. In other words, kind of changing the Constitution. Your state and most states allow changes of the Constitution to be done by a minor democracy majority. In other words, 50% plus one is most what all states are. That is not a Republican form of government. So, anyway, I'm just putting it out there that we are getting very close, and I'm just telling you that we need to get involved. You need to get involved. If you're sitting on your hands, I think you could make use of those. We have the opportunity now. And like I said, I've told people before, I'm ready to go away and ready to just start filling sandbags and doing other things. And with that, I will let it go. I will also tell you that we have Red Pill Expo coming up. And that is in Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. It is a must-see event. And it is definitely worth your while. It's worth the expense. It was worth it last year for me to be able to go, and there was all sorts of people I was connecting with and so forth. And these are long-term connections, because you're meeting people that see the world through your eyes. You are a liberty-minded person, and these people there are full liberty-minded people as well. Before I move too far forward, I just kind of skipped over this, and I don't want to, because I want to make a note of this every day. The Constitution Day is just a half year away. Now is the time to start planning. Now is the time to at least plan something. And everybody should have on their plans to at least read. If you've never read the Constitution, you should read it once a year. It's just like Scripture. You should read it once a year, because if you don't read it, then you have no idea how far away from honoring that document we are as a government. And so that's why I truly believe that the importance of reading the scriptures and the importance of reading our founding documents helps us understand if we're beginning to drift away. And you can see it. I mean, anybody can see, you know, regarding Christianity, where in Christ's teachings did he say that immorality was okay? As a matter of fact, what did he tell the adulteress? Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her, but he didn't forgive her either. He says, I don't condemn ye. And if you understand the whole context of repentance and forgiveness, it is overcoming sin, and you know, repenting and overcoming sin, being forgiven. So just trying to gloss over this, because this is kind of setting up what I wanted to talk about just on an aside, because this hit me this weekend and I'm going, you've got to be kidding. How much farther down evil can we slide? So, in context to sin and in context to that, you know, that infamous moment, or I should say, yeah, that incredible moment when Christ came upon the woman that they were going to stone, and they demanded that, you know, he, you know, convict her. And then he just said, those of you, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And they all had walked away because they realized that, you know, they had all sinned in some manner or some way. And so when he's, you know, said, where are your accusers? She realized that she wasn't going to die. But he, like I said, he did not forgive her at that point, nor did he condemn her. What he said was, go and sin no more, and gave her the opportunity to overcome that sin and be forgiven. And so it's really, really important when people start saying, oh, well, we've got to accept this. No, we don't have to. What we have to do is we have to tell people and help people to overcome their sins. That's what compassion is. You want to free people. Is it good to sit there and watch somebody that is addicted to pornography, somebody that is addicted to games, somebody that's addicted to alcohol, drugs, or what have you? Is it a moral thing to just sit there and let them waller and waste their life in those things? No, it's not. We should be trying to help them break those addictions and break that paradigm so that they can free themselves. Now, we're not supposed to judge, but we're supposed to try to help them anyway. So I don't know if you heard, but in Nebraska this weekend, actually it wasn't this weekend, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday last week, a grandmother gave birth to her granddaughter. Yeah. A grandmother gave birth to her granddaughter. And what was happening was apparently her son decided to get married to a man. And so these two husbands or whatever, I don't know, I think they were calling, you know, her son's husband. So I think it's two husbands. Anyway, they were really heartbroken with the fact that they couldn't have a kid. And like I said, these are the consequences. You make this decision to go down this path, there are consequences to that. And it's tantamount to giving somebody a lifetime supply of heroin or fentanyl or what have you when you remove their consequences and actually, what do you want to call that? It's not just even condoning, it is aiding and abetting. Because what happens when a family supports and gets a child into the hands of people who've made the absolute decision that they do not want to have anything to do with procreation? They don't want to live that life. And so anyway, there are consequences, and we've talked about this. And here's the interesting thing. The high percentage of homosexual community is not a monogamous community. And monogamy is not necessarily a commitment in homosexuality. So the question is, does adultery exist in homosexuality? Well, yeah, of course. And so why is it that we, both of these, and as a matter of fact, I talked about this in Brunei a week or 2 weeks ago, Brunei had announced that they were implementing Sharia law and that they wanted to, and they were going to start stoning any adulterers as well as any homosexuals. You understand this, that is what Sharia law does. In America, we don't do that. As a matter of fact, we have practically repealed all of our sodomy laws and those types of things, but we still actually go after adultery. But we'll get into that when I come right back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so we're advancing in a very scary territory as society because we're actually able to truly get to a point where mankind is able to use science in trying to overcome consequences of sin. And so I mentioned this in some of my writings that as we start understanding DNA and as we start understanding traits, human behavior, and so forth, let's say there's a gene in the male, you know, chromosome or what have you that makes, you know, a man a man and so forth. And let's say that, you know, that part of the gene is identifiable that this man is going to have a problem with promiscuity. Then, in other words, there's a good likelihood that he may become an adulterer. Is that when we start aborting fetuses? Is that when we start trying to gene edit so that we can make a perfect society? Are we going to go down the path? Because on the contrary, they said, and it's been proven that there is no genetic proof of homosexuality. It is just literally a perversion. The APA came out in 1972, and they said that homosexuality was genetic. And then in 2009, on a back page of most newspapers, They said that they can't find any proof that homosexuality is a genetic design. So, let's say it is, though, okay? Let's just give this 1972, and what they're still teaching in schools, by the way, they're still teaching in schools that it is genetic, even though it's been proven otherwise. But let's say it is. Are we going to, you know, to make society better, are we going to start editing the DNA of the eggs that are going within women so that there's no more natural birth? It's all going to be done, and it won't be any cost to you because government's going to cover the cost, and they're going to have as many kids as you want. Actually, as soon as government starts getting involved, then they can say, well, we're only going to let you have one kid, right? When government starts getting involved, they want to regulate everything to what they believe is best. This is Plato's Republic we're talking about. This is the perfect communism where government has full control, making sure that the best of the best is being bred so that the smartest people, you know, breed together, the strong people and so forth. I mean, that was Plato's design, but we don't need to do that anymore. With DNA engineering, we can actually start creating that perfect society. So the question I have is, would we actually edit out that promiscuity and that homosexuality, that thing that would make us and that thing that drives humanity towards these dark perversions of bestiality and so forth? Would we do that? I'm here to tell you that the next step would be that we would start genetically changing the outcome of ethnicities and so forth and create perfect race, because that's what we're talking about. We are talking about trying to create perfect races. And that is a very dangerous step. I understand that there are problems within the humanity, humankind, the genes, and so forth. But I believe that we have some very different factors. We are not machines, nor are we animals. We have cognitive capabilities, and we have compassion. And when we start editing these things out, then we may remove those things. We may remove the need to having those things as we adjust and so forth. We're in a very dangerous territory, but we have to stop enabling and actually supporting sin. We have, I believe, a moral obligation to try to help people with their spiritual place in life, but we can't force that. The last thing I want to see done is somebody being forced into Christianity, and we're already seeing people being forced into Islam. We're already seeing people being forced into godlessness, and we've got to stop that. And that's why I've been ranting a lot about anti-Christian, the anti-Christian ideology, the anti-Christian church, and how we are getting very, very close to that state here in, well, here in America, but you actually can see it abroad, and we'll get into some of that if I have time to get to that today. But what I want to do is kind of really gloss over some topics that I've been telling you I'm going to cover, and I'm going to cover this. The militia, there's this concept of pushing the banning of guns, and you know that the left are doing everything they can in these blue states like Washington State and so forth in trying to ban guns. I'm also going to get into this is another topic, the security risk with buying tech from China. Anything from China, if it's got tech in it, you do not want to buy it. If it is made in China, we need to start demanding that if you want to buy a new washing machine, it needs to come from someplace else than China. It's one thing to buy a wood block with a little ball attached to it, you know, like a, you know, a little paddle, you know, the paddle and the ball. Okay, that's no technology. That's okay to buy from China. But if it's got technology in it, no, because you have just surrendered your ability and your privacy, because China is deliberately putting in, and we'll get into this, they're deliberately putting in spy software, firmware, whatever you want to call it, read-only memory and actions and so forth, so that they know what you're doing and so forth. And they're doing this throughout their society, throughout China itself, with the social engineering and so forth. We're going to get into property rights and the Agenda 21 issues. We are going to get into laws that we need to establish in protecting Christianity and actually going back to the same paradigm that made America great. So in hand with laws to protect Christianity, I am going to talk about the godlessness of the secular national church and how we have to dismantle that church, period. There's no business for the federal government and a national church to be erected. And yes, there is one, even though there's no brick and mortar to it, and even though there's no real true appointed leader, they're all political instead of, you know, a hierarchy of, you know, prophets or popes or any type of, you know, hierarchy of authority. Also want to get into social media, because it seems like as we peel the onion, we're starting to realize just how devious these social media companies have become and just how hard set they are in ensuring that they are going to try to contribute to the changing of society to what they believe is best, just like our education system. But before we do go into those things, I wanted to kind of get into some news, and the first thing we're going to hit this week is, like I said, will be the militia. But with some of the personal things that we've got to take care of in the family, I may not be able to get to the militia until a little later on this week. But there's plenty of news that are marketing that we need to talk about. So Illinois has raised the smoking age to 21. What has that got to do with anything? Well, Illinois is one of those states that wants to give up their electoral college votes to the popular vote. And they're also considering in lowering the voting age, because they're a dark blue state. They want to give away voting to 16-year-olds. Isn't that interesting? Well, you're not old enough to smoke, but we want you to screw us over and go ahead and vote so that you can surrender our liberties. What's it going to take, folks? When are you going to wake up? When is it that you're going to acknowledge the fact that our school systems are lost? They're actually our enemy. It is a part of the big enemy within and a part of their machine. When are we going to start getting it? Another thing in the news, did you hear about Obama? I think it was over this weekend or last week. He was in Germany meeting with Merkel and Clinton does this as well. I mean, she's been in the Koreans and... what the heck's going on here? Have you ever heard of the Logan Act of 1790? The Logan Act makes it illegal for anybody that is not an official representative of the U.S. government, which would be coming from the office of the president, in doing dealings with foreign nationals, especially foreign national countries and leadership that we have treaties with, whether they're in dispute or in the process of being renegotiated, negotiations, and so forth. As a matter of fact, if you look at every single one of these countries, we have some level of disputes with them, whether it be over trade or what have you, that we're in the constant flux of trying to make things better, because as we start, you know, making something better, then some new product, new market space opens up, and it creates another contention. We're constantly in flux of contention. You can't avoid that. That is the rapid changing environment that we have to deal with. The bottom line is Obama has no business meeting with Merkel or any foreign national. As a matter of fact, he needs to be grounded. It's one thing for him to go on a vacation, but when he starts meeting with other people, they should strip him of his privileges and his accesses and everything. I have a problem with Pelosi taking a whirlwind tour because she is not acting in the office of the president where that responsibility resides. I'm going to get back into this because there's more of this that's going on that you need to know, and we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, it doesn't just stop there with Obama, Pelosi, other members of Congress, other members of former presidents, and former members of the presidential administration, like Kerry continues to go travel around, senators, and so forth. It doesn't just stop there. Gavin Newsom, the governor, the communist governor of California, was down in El Salvador. And I'm going, what the heck, and what business does he have going down there and meeting with a foreign state leader? He has no business doing that. And Trump and the Department of Justice needs to probably brush off the Logan Act, read it, and go, you know what? As far as we see, these guys are easily violating the Logan Act, and start reeling these people in. You have to start making examples of people before people start behaving. And that actually has to happen. So let me move forward. I wanted to give you, because this kind of plays into this whole concept of tolerance, stoning, you know, the homosexual agenda and so forth. And I want to give you a perspective, because I've been telling you how intolerant the left really is. In British Columbia, a human rights activist, or I should say, a human rights tribunal, almost sounds like a military action, doesn't it? Ordered a Christian activist, William Whatcott, to pay a fine of $55,000 to Morgane Auger, or Auger, O-G-E-R, a male who transitioned into a woman and then was defeated in a local election. Whatcott's flyer, distributed in Auger's voting district, characterized the candidate as a biological male who was promoting homosexuality and transvestism. The flyer also advocated rejecting Auger in favor of God's definition of gender and marriage. Auger, I don't know how to pronounce that, claimed that the flyer was intended to provoke hatred. Or was the flyer intended to provoke the truth? And what was hatred and or what was the truth? Watcott said his flyers were an act of religious expression. Watcott had distributed flyers in a previous case, and they were ruled by the Supreme Court of Canada to be hateful. Interesting. So in other words, calling something a sin is construed as hateful. Are you getting this? Watcott says he will continue to distribute flyers and that he has no intention of paying the fines ordered by the tribunal because it doesn't have the money and because he wouldn't do so even if he had it. So obviously he's going to be fighting back. But the whole point is, and this is off of G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. If you don't subscribe to it, you're missing a lot of these outlier stories that you will not hear, or you won't hear the depth of the story. Because what you hear on the mainstream news media is how they want to spin it and how Watcott was insensitive, intolerant, and just hateful. And he was a bad guy, and he deserved to be punished. What I am here to tell you is that this is how intolerant the left is. They're doing everything. And so if you happen to belong to a church that still maintains that homosexuality is a sin, that church is going to be under fire. That church is going to have to take on probably the world soon, because the whole world is starting to ram down everybody's throats, accept it, accept it, accept it, in the most intolerant fashion you will see. That we've been hearing people getting fined for not using, or getting fired for not using the right pronouns. You call me a they. You don't call me he. Anyway. So I wanted to also mention that there's a really good moral dose of hypocrisy in Congress. And I know this is kind of after the fact, but it's still out there. There are still people in Congress, and they're hard pushing for the full release of this Mueller report. Representatives Jerry Nader, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, and 14 other Democrats. So in other words, 17 in all. Are currently voting, or actually, let me give you the back history. In 1998, these folks were still, they were in office at the time, and they all voted against releasing the Starr report about President Clinton. 21 years later, these same 17 lawmakers are the most ardent voices out there in demanding a full release of the special counsel's report. And so, if you want to see hypocrisy, then you have to ask them what was so great about protecting Clinton that you wanted to do that. Was it partisan? In other words, was it because he was a Democrat? It's ideological, my friends, and we cannot, when somebody walks out and steps into a job, they are ideologically wired and they are going to function. I'm telling you, if you hire me, I ideologically function towards liberty. I am not one that is wanting to subjugate anybody, just so you understand this. So here's an interesting case, too. And this goes back to our education system. And G. Edward Griffin pointed out that the University of Kansas is offering a humanities course titled Angry White Male Studies that explores the deeper sources of this emotional state while evaluating recent manifestations of male anger. So they have to be tying it to white male anger, right? In Europe and America from 1950 to present. This article lists additional examples of classes, papers, and comments that demonize and scapegoat white males. Universities in the United States have become Marxist indoctrination camps. No surprise there. And that they allow white Christian and conservative students to be abused by fellow students and professors. There. And as a matter of fact, if you're white male Christian, you're a two-time loser. As you know, I had Orlean on about a month ago, and we talked about the 5G cell towers. And so Verizon just announced that it is turning on in two states, or actually two cities, they're activating their 5G transmitters in Minneapolis and in Chicago. Activist Gary Gilano points out that the millimeter waves used as weapons by the U.S. in war zones in the Middle East, and that Trump is pushing this 5G with the justification that the U.S. is in competition with China to be the first country to use 5G systems to monitor and control all human activity. Why would Trump be supporting that? Sprint will test its 5G system in Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, and Los Angeles within the next 2 months. If you live in these cities, folks, as these towers start cooking you, you need to start getting involved in your city councils. I mean, I'm sorry, we have to get involved in all of these because what they're doing is harmful. They are actually saying that protecting you is not important anymore. Giving you cancer is something that, you know, it's an acceptable risk to them. And as far as I'm concerned, that is not good government. Now, here's another one that G. Edward Griffin brings up, and it's the Gang Zhao, and I know that's correct because it was a part of some of the studies I did when I was in the intel community. The Gang Zhao Department of Ethnic and Religious Affairs is offering $1,500 equal to about a two-month average income to neighbors who turn in leaders of illegal house churches. President Xi is going after both Muslims and Christians with great zeal, and he views religion as a threat from foreign countries to infiltrate and undermine the government's power. Now, G. Edward Griffin goes on with his own commentary, and he says he's wrong about foreign powers, but he's right in that religion does, in fact, undermine government power because it allows people to turn to spiritual leaders and each other for guidance and help. Totalitarian governments cannot allow this to happen. And there's some truth there because, bottom line, it's not like these Christians are going to a foreign government leader. You know, the Pope is not, well, I don't know. It seems like he's trying to step into government boundaries. But most spiritual leaders of different faiths, the Dalai Lama and so forth, they are without boundaries and without affiliations of states and laws and those types of things. I mean, they live by the laws of their religion. And so this is happening there, and these types of things grow legs. So when it comes down to the growth and insensitivity and intolerance of the homosexual agenda, as it comes down to the intolerance towards Christianity, towards whites, as we try to rewrite history and everything, you're seeing all of these things happen. And what are you doing to help contribute to stopping this so that we stop this slide? If you haven't read Buchanan's article over the past week or so, go find it, go read it. He's talking about how close we are to the complete final slide into communism. I've been telling you this for a long time. I disagree with some of it, and we'll have to talk about that later. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.